Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Welcome in, everybody. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Good Monday Night Football game last night. Quentin Johnston can't catch again. We're back to where we were last year. That's
all
super
is
fun.
Right in the universe.
Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley putting together a really, really fun rushing title race here, both at 1,300 yards. The next closest, Josh Jacobs. Not even over 1,000 yards yet. It is between those two guys, and they're having a ball. Where I want to start today, though, was about 5 minutes ago, as we're getting ready to come in here. Jerry Jones, Cowboys owner and GM, meeting on his local, or you know, his weekly radio appearance on 105.3 The Fan over in Dallas, will not rule out a contract extension for Mike McCarthy. Quote, I don't think that's crazy at all. This is a Super Bowl winning coach. Mike McCarthy has been there and done that. He has great ideas. We've got a lot of football left.
I'm sold. Get this man a piece of paper and a pen. Write up that contract right now, Jerry. Do it. Please do it. Because I would love for nothing more than the Cowboys to be terrible for the next however many years they decide to sign him. Because that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
I love him so much. That is the most asinine way of thinking. Is he won a Super Bowl in, what, 2010? Yeah, he still got it.
14 years ago.
He hasn't been good since, but he still got it.
14 years.
Oh, baby. That's so good.
Like, that is... What is that logic? Where is that line of thinking? I don't know why I'm getting so upset about this, but it's frustrating because it's like how are you that dumb? How are you that out of touch with your team that you
the moves he makes though kind of tells you.
Well, right, I guess that's true.
He kept Jason Garrett well past his expiration date because he essentially saw him like family. Mike McCarthy's the perfect yes man to him. Probably doesn't say anything bad. Just does exactly what Jerry wants. And they have no issues.
That makes complete sense. Jerry Jones is surrounded by yes men.
It's his family,
and they're also complacent. They're it feels like they're complacent anyway. Because
oh my god, yeah.
Even though they sit there and they're all upset because they're losing, the management and the ownership group just seems like it'll work its way out. We're still America's team. We are in Dallas, Texas.
We make a ton of money.
Yeah, we make a ton of money regardless of how bad we are. Like because.
It's
tough,
so good.
Tough day for Yankees fans because you know that also means their football team's going down.
But I did want to start there real quick because I saw it pop up and I was like, "There's no way."
That's crazy. That is absolutely crazy because it's like Like, think about how many other coaches are available or will or could be available this offseason. Brian Daboll might be available. I mean, he hasn't been fired yet, but it feels like the writing's on the wall in New York with what's going on there.
Yeah, that's
and
insane.
That's something where it's even crazier because he's only gotten a short amount of time there.
This is his third year, yeah.
Right. Like, you're looking at Mike McCarthy. When did he get to Dallas?
Well, I think it's been around the same amount of time.
Has it really?
I think so. I just will never forget like his opening press conference where he just kind of straight up joking, but also being completely truthful. I lied basically on my resume after he said, like, I watched every single game the Cowboys played the year prior. This is his fourth year. He's been there since 2020.
Really? I could have swore it's been longer.
But
than
he was talking about how I've watched, or sorry, this is his fifth year. He's like, I've watched every single game of the past year. Like, I know exactly how to work this team. Opening day press conference. I totally lied. Yeah, I watched a few of their games. And Jerry's sitting there, and you can see he's like getting frustrated by it. And I'm like, oh, cool, that's how this is going to start.
Yep.
Now, to be fair, after 2020, where they went 6-10, 12-5, 12-5, 12-5.
Yeah, no, they've been consistent up to this point, but now it's like you're having all these problems on and off the field in terms of, you know, the play on the field is bad.
Yeah.
And the play off the field stuff the players just, they're checked out. He's lost the room. You know, and to not be able to see that as the owner and general manager of your team is just, that's malpractice. Like, I don't understand how you can sit there and not realize that this guy is probably the most hated guy in your organization from internally and externally, aside from yourself.
I was going to say, I wouldn't say he's the most hated guy. Yeah,
aside
Jerry.
From yourself, yeah. But just looking at the way that they're set up and what they have, like the situation they have themselves in, and I just if I'm a Cowboys fan, I mean, man.
You feel like you're just in no man's land.
Yeah,
you have an owner / GM. Well, and that's a key point too.
Because it's not like
he's
the owner,
also the owner,
right,
so
right.
He won't fire himself as the GM. He's going to keep doing it. You watched already a program in New England have a head coach GM and get to a point where okay, he needs to be fired at least as the GM. This is terrible, and it still went on forever until eventually he was axed and gone. This never works out well.
The only way you would have any hope is if that it was the GM that was saying this, but it is. I mean, it is the GM, obviously. But not being the owner as well. Like, the owner would have to step in and say something about this. And I don't know if anyone in that organization will or could. Because, like we were just talking about, he's surrounded by yes men. He's surrounded by people that are, yep, yeah, sounds great, Jerry, whatever you want.
Because it's his family.
Keep raking in the money.
It's his family. Like, that's a big reason why. Is most of his children are in Maine.
At what point? Because you got to think, when you're an owner of a team, you're not buying that team because you want to just buy it. You're buying the team because you probably like it a little bit, right? I mean, at least to start. And then as you go on over the course of the years, you're probably the team's biggest fan. You're the team's biggest supporter, right? Like, think about it that way. And if you're Jerry Jones's kids, or even if you're Jerry Jones at this point, like, you have to think at some point, I can't do anymore. I need to go out and get someone externally because this isn't working. And I don't want to see my team that I love do poorly.
Yeah,
and that's
I
and
have
that's
no
where
doubt
I'm,
in my mind that Jerry Jones loves the Cowboys and wants them to win. I think he loves himself more.
Yeah. No, that's definitely I don't doubt that at all, actually. But it's crazy though that like you can just like to be that egotistical and to also, I mean, like I said, like I feel like the people around him, even though they are yes men, sure, family specifically, like because obviously his sons, I think, are part of the ownership group.
Yeah,
right?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
So if you're them, you probably also have the same sort of love for the Cowboys, or who knows if there's family drama there. Maybe they don't. Maybe they resent the Cowboys for whatever. I don't know. Obviously not. That's me speculating. But like, looking at it from an outside perspective into how these internal conversations could go. There has to be someone in there that's screaming their head off saying, please stop this. This is ridiculous. Like I cannot sit here and think that there's not one person in that organization that thinks that all of this is a terrible idea. I can't believe it. If there is, I don't know. I have to believe that there is someone in that ownership group that wants this to change.
Well, I think there's absolutely people that want this to change. You won't get Jerry to do so. That's the tough part. You won't get him to do so.
Right.
I think as well. Let's look at the Mike McCarthy situation here real quick, and then we'll move off this because we might even have a weather game on Sunday, mm-hmm. which could be fun.
Yeah, we will.
McCarthy's making anywhere, and it's not known, but it's anywhere between $4 million and $7 million annually.
Mm-hmm.
The best coaching prospect in the NFL currently is Ben Johnson. He reportedly wanted $15 million a year.
Wow.
Steve Sarkisian, the head coach at Texas, is making a little over $10 million a year.
So you
he's
think
not
this is...
willing to pay for yeah. the best coaches. He's bringing in people that are yes men, they're going to do what he wants them to do, and not break the bank to do so. He will never bring in Sark. He will never bring in Ben Johnson. He will never bring in Bill Belichick. They're not yes men, and they cost too much money.
Let's say this extension doesn't happen, right? What are his options? Because if that's the case, if he doesn't want to spend that money, if he doesn't want to go out and get a premium head coach or even just a good head coach.
Kellen Moore.
Ugh.
He's been in the organization, was their OC.
Yeah.
He knows everybody. It'd be Kellen Moore.
I guess.
Which, yeah, I mean, like that's what it
I'm
is,
just
too.
Trying to think of other head coaches that could be considered like this, you know... They're not great, but they're good or they're decent, so they wouldn't cost as much money.
It'll be Kellen Moore.
Yeah.
So weather game potentially for the Bills.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, that's, you know what? We're switching off of a sour
like
subject.
I guess.
Going to a fun one. Hey, no. This is fun. I love snow games. This would be great. And
I like
also,
snow games.
You're fulfilling George Kittle's dream. He's always wanted to play Josh Allen in the snow.
Oh, there we go.
Remember, that was the thing when the schedule came out. He said he was excited to play in Buffalo in the wintertime because they haven't been here since 2016.
That's right.
That game was like in early October, late September.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah. No chances. Well, not no chances, no. But no snow in that game. So, and obviously, no George Kittle. So, he'd probably be pretty excited hearing that it's bumped up from 15% to 35% from what we've heard. In terms of weather stuff, I'm excited. I would love for it to. I want it to just start snowing because I need it to feel like Christmas time.
The key for these snow games, though, is a lot like what happened with Cleveland and Pittsburgh. It's got to snow during the game.
Yeah.
Not the day before
the
or during it, and then all of a sudden it becomes the excavators having to move all the snow and get ready to play.
I'm okay.
The peak aesthetic is during the game, it's snowing.
Yeah, I'm okay with it starting before the game, though, and then kind of like continuing as the game
sure,
goes
yeah.
on. Like Sunday night, or I'm sorry, like early Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to like do it like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah, no.
But
no.
Let's just say it starts overnight between Saturday to Sunday, right? That I think that's the perfect scenario because then you get a nice little coating and it keeps going on throughout the day and it's just like the vibe is there and the excitement is building and you know the Bills play that night so you don't have to, you know, you can watch other football throughout the day and look outside. Oh, look, it looks all like a snow globe outside and, you know.
My only issue though with weather games is for a scenario like this. The San Francisco 49ers are right now not nearly as good of a team as Buffalo.
Mm.
The moment there is a huge weather event or just anything that kind of causes issues, it brings everyone together. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, the team is not really running the ball that well, can start running the ball pretty well because they kind of have to.
Yeah.
And that's really what they're going to go in and game plan is. San Francisco, though, being a California team, I get it. Like they're not going to have the wherewithal of necessarily dealing with snow,
right? Like they understand,
but they've also played Green Bay in Lambeau and beaten them in the playoffs, so that's not really there,
right? In the middle of January,
that's my issue is that all of a sudden a game that maybe should be a blowout all of a sudden gets condensed a little bit because the weather has made it closer, the weather has been the ultimate equalizer, and I don't love that. I do not love that.
I mean, I don't think it'll be that much of an equalizer. It doesn't sound like this isn't going to be like the weather like we got in years past. This. They were projecting, you know, maybe like 7 inches over the whole weekend, mm-hmm. not in one day, like over like 2 or 3 days.
It is not the Christmas storm from a few years ago.
Yeah, right, right. So I'm not necessarily worried about it being too much. I'm just worried about it in the sense of you have.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Allo, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you enjoy deep dives into solved and unsolved murder cases, then Murder True Crime Stories is the podcast for you. Find Murder True Crime Stories on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like you were saying, like you have a team that will, one, kind of get more excited of, hey guys, let's go out there and have some fun. It's snowing and we're in Buffalo for the first time in forever. And, you know, we're only one game out of the top of the NFC West. So let's just go out and have some fun and see what happens. If you're the 49ers.
I don't know if that's going to be their attitude. This is an old team that has not gotten over the hump. They're pissed.
Well,
they're injured and upset. There is no let's go have some fun.
No, I know. I don't mean it in the sense of like, let's like, okay, maybe I worded it poorly. In terms of like getting hyped up, I feel like it might kind of give them more, maybe a little more hype. Just because of the aesthetic of playing in the snow.
The scenery, the environment, it is Sunday
having,
night football.
Having fun is not, the wording I used there was not great. But I just mean it more so in this thing, or potentially this game, kind of just hyping them up more because of what it is. It's Sunday night football in Buffalo in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
Against a team that just came off the bye week. But if it's not snowing, I don't really know how much that takes out of it either, because I still think that they're going to come in here with that mentality of this team is coming off the bye. We have to get over the hump. They have something to prove. Let's go out there and prove that we also do.
Well, that sort of thing. Then that's my thing too, and why I don't love that it could be a weather game that maybe shrinks, you know, the advantages the Bills have. This is a 49ers team that is feeling the end here.
Yeah.
If they lose this weekend, they'll be 5-7, and just looking at their schedule the rest of the way, it's not looking great for them. They have Buffalo. Chicago should probably be a win, but Chicago's starting to play a little bit better. That could absolutely be a loss. That's at home, though. At home against the Rams. That's always tight. I think Shanahan
has got to be
typically
a win.
I think Shanahan, I don't have the stats right off the top of my head. I believe Shanahan has the advantage over McVay in terms of head-to-head matchups. But then you get Miami, Detroit, Arizona. Miami is playing much, much better. And you won't get them on that whole like cold weather stats with Tua and the Dolphins. They're playing a lot better. Detroit looks like a wagon, and Arizona is probably going to be trying to close out the NFC West there. That'll be a tight game.
Shanahan is 10-5 against McVay.
Yeah, so he has the advantage there. You feel good about that. That's Thursday Night Football, December 12th.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a great schedule the rest of the way here. They really don't.
They only have one divisional win, too.
They can realistically take, what, one more loss?
Maybe. But at the same time, that division is terrible.
It is.
There is so much left in that division in terms of, you know.
But it stops being terrible when Seattle takes on the Jets and they beat them, and they're all of a sudden 7-5.
Right.
And, you know, maybe the Cardinals upset Minnesota, they're 7-5. Then all of a sudden you're sitting there at 5-7 going, all right, well, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
We've run out of time. We don't have enough games here. And we're not picking up wins. This is going to be a desperate team. And if you all of a sudden shrink the advantages for one team, I don't love that matchup.
Yeah.
I think they'll win it still. I just would like to not freak out most of the game because my team can't pass the ball because it's snowing in the middle of it. And they've had to change up their game plans. Now, like you've brought up too, the report is not saying it's going to be this like unbelievable catastrophe of a weather game.
Yeah.
It is not going to be necessarily
as Cleveland and Pittsburgh was right now anyway.
Yeah. But that's what happened to Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Cleveland was not as good of a team. And yet the environment, the elements, made it a closer game. And that's a style Pittsburgh likes to play. They want to be a team that hits you in the mouth,
right,
runs the ball, only passes kind of when they need to for big plays.
But that's not necessarily either of these teams, the Bills or the 49ers. Neither of them really play that way, I don't think. I mean, the 49ers, sure, they have Christian McCaffrey, but it's not really worked out with Christian McCaffrey so far because he's been so hurt.
Yeah, he's not played.
So can you play that style of play? You might want to, but can you actually do it? And
Trent Williams is also hurt, so that means one of your key offensive linemen. Mm-hmm.
And then if you look at the flip side, like with the Bills, like I said, like sure, they've had great running back play from James Cook and Ray Davis, but and even Ty Johnson at times too, but like that's not the Bills' style of play. The Bills' style of play is, you know, Allen finding a guy like Shakir, Coleman, or Cooper, and then also maybe creating something with his own legs.
Mm-hmm.
But it's both of these teams could be at a disadvantage here, but at the same time, I think that if you're looking at this from a Bills perspective, it's kind of hard not to get into the whole mentality of this is an old aging out team that if you get them one more loss.
If you just get on them early.
Yeah, right. But if you give them one more loss, they're kind of dead. So like you just got to go out there and get on them. But I don't know. It's tough because it's a weird mentality to be in because it's coming off the bye week and it's an opponent that usually is very good and they're just terrible.
Well, yeah, 3 months ago you had Kansas City bye, San Francisco. Ooh.
Yeah.
Now it's, okay, Kansas City you beat and I argue probably should have now looking at that the rest of their year, the whole thing. Yes, you beat them a lot in the regular season, but even this year, it looked like you should beat them.
Mm-hmm.
Bye week, San Francisco, oof, they're really hurt. They are constantly injured. Brock Purdy, cool. He threw a little bit yesterday, and apparently it went well. Does anyone believe anything the 49ers say anymore?
No.
Not really, especially with everything that went on with Christian McCaffrey, even somewhat Brandon Ayuk. They just no one really believes Purdy's all that healthy. So even if he plays, how much is that really going to do? And even when he has played, there's a big reason why they are where they are at 5-6. Yes, he's had his good moments, but he is doing it kind of alone. It's been him and Juwan Jennings and sometimes George Kittle. George Kittle, though, having a very good year himself, but just it's not enough.
I mean, that Brandon Ayuk injury definitely hurts things, obviously, like that. But at the same time, he wasn't even that good.
No, he's not even a good year at all.
Like, yeah, in terms of a good year, he wasn't having one before he got hurt. But at the same time, you never know. I mean, he could have, you know, worked things out as he went on there, but obviously he got hurt, so it doesn't matter. He's not a factor.
This just feels like a team that should have arguably been doing what the Bills were doing, which is moving off aging talent, getting younger.
Right.
They don't really draft a lot of offensive linemen or defensive linemen.
This is almost what this whole transition season could have been.
Yeah.
If you look at it with like the way the Bills roster was built and the way the 49ers roster is built, I don't want to say it could have been this bad, but given everything that they had, if the 49ers don't get hurt though, if they don't have all these injuries, I think it's a completely different season.
Sure. Yeah, it's a somewhat of a last dance feeling.
Right. Because then it's, you know, you have everyone there, you have all this talent that you've been building for years. Here's the last shot. But at the same time, we saw that early on in the season, and it wasn't really clicking.
No. He had missed most of training camp, and then it was a really it was off.
I don't mean just Brandon Ayuk. I mean everybody.
No, I mean, yeah, it was off all year. The vibes have been bad. This is a team that kind of needed to start rebuilding. They'd made a ton of Super Bowls, but they had lost them, partially due to quarterback play just was not good enough. Their trench play also arguably has not been good enough. They've had great players. Trent Williams has been great for a long time. He's older, though. Fred Warner on the linebacking side of the things been great for a long time, but they are getting older. And they want to keep surviving. They want to keep pushing as long as they can. But now they've picked up injuries. They would actually be better off losing and continuing to lose and pick in like the top 10. Go get a Calvin Banks Jr. or one of these great offensive linemen in this draft class because it's a weak quarterback class as well. So that might also be your issue if you are picking 15, 16 because teams are like, we're going to take two quarterbacks max. Then we're going to tackles and defensive linemen because it's a good edge rusher class as well. That's what they need is actually to keep losing games, get younger and better in those spots. I was seeing today as well, Aaron Schatz with DVOA going over who's the likeliest to get the number one overall pick, and it's New England by quite a bit. I think they're at like 36%.
But they don't need a quarterback, though, so
but it's perfect for them. It's like we'll just go get an elite left tackle, and we'll just put him in there. I think that's the way to build these teams. You've seen how the Bills have been able to do it, where now they just got a rotation of offensive linemen and defensive linemen. Maybe not necessarily a ton of elite guys, but really good NFL players so that, when Spencer Brown is down for a game, Ryan Vandermark goes in and is good.
Yeah.
You have Osiris Torrance, who since his rookie year as a second-round pick has literally not missed a start and is only getting better. He did start off slow this year, though, in terms of a sophomore slump, but he's continued to push through. And look, I won't be surprised if in the first round this year they add an edge rusher. Yeah. Von Miller's getting older. Rousseau they're going to want to pay, but they need more playmakers there. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they add that. But the 49ers add a ton of skill guys. They don't add a lot in the trenches. And that has made them very thin in those spots. And it has also made it to where, yeah, when these skill guys aren't hitting, they become frustrating to watch.
I do wonder, though, how much that changes after this season. Just because of the fact of, if you're Kyle Shanahan, who's their manager?
John Lynch.
John Lynch,
yeah. If you're the two of them, if you're Shanahan and Lynch this season, you've already probably had conversations of, what's next? How are we going to build from this? Because every season is a building opportunity, right? Even if it's a losing season, you can still build from it. And you can still learn from it and move on. But the 49ers are in this weird spot where, you know, next year they're going to have to make the decision to pay Brock Purdy or not.
Ugh, and I would not do
and
that.
And I wouldn't either. But you also have all the money to Brandon Ayuk right now. You have Christian McCaffrey, who is, when he's healthy, one of the best running backs in the league, but he can't stay healthy. And that's kind of it offensively. You don't have much. You don't have consistent outputs from Deebo Samuel, and Elijah Mitchell can't stay healthy. He never really was anything. He was kind of a flash in the pan. Mm-hmm. And that's where it's like you look at this whole offensive unit, and you look at also the next two drafts and what they offer you. It's not skill players. It's tackles. What you should be going to is
you're going to be fine at wide receiver if you want to add a wide receiver.
Sure, but at the same time, I think if you're looking at if you're San Francisco here, you got to be building the lines on mm-hmm. both sides of the ball, because the defensive line is just as bad in terms of age and injury prone, like how injury prone people can be. I mean, that's the real focus here if you're San Francisco over the next year or two,
mm-hmm.
is going out and getting guys in the draft and also maybe trying to identify some free agents. But
this is where, like, you needed to trade Brandon Ayuk before the draft.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You needed to add picks there, get younger. Because the Brandon Ayuk conversation was always weird to have, especially in the offseason, especially when it came to the Bills as well. He was not a number one receiver.
No.
He put up nice stats, but he was not a number one.
He was a fringe.
He did really good in his scheme, but he was not the guy that you were going to sit there and go, I'm willing to pay him $30 million a year.
He was essentially a more flashy Gabe Davis.
No, I mean, he's better than that. It's just he's closer to the T. Higgins,
okay,
where I'm not willing to pay you that much money, but they're going to pay him this much money. They ultimately didn't, but you waited forever where a team like Pittsburgh was willing to, what, give you a second-round pick for him?
Mm-hmm.
Great, take it, move on. You need to get younger at certain spots. They already were willing to. They took Ricky Pearsall in the first round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, his rookie year got off to a terrible start, not due to anything he did.
Right.
But then you also drafted Jacob Cowing in the fourth. You've been willing to move off of him.
Yeah.
And you didn't.
But what I was saying there with the whole Gabe Davis thing is the fact that you have something every once in a while. You don't have this peak consistency of what you expect out of a number one receiver, but you have a guy who thinks he is. And that's part of the problem as well is, you know, obviously, yeah, sure, get your money, get paid. But if you didn't necessarily earn it, then what are you negotiating all that for, right? Like, that's the most interesting part about that whole Brandon Ayuk mm-hmm. situation is it got so messy so quickly. But the 49ers had a point. They had a point to say, hey, look, you're not worth that, right? And then mm-hmm. it comes down to, you know, if you want to lose the player or not, and they didn't want to lose the player. So eventually it all sorted out. But I look at their decisions up to this point, and they've put themselves in this position. They tried to go all in a few years ago when they got Christian McCaffrey. They tried to go all in when they signed Brandon Ayuk here, but it's too little too late. Like, it's not that year they got Christian McCaffrey. What year was that? Was that 2 years ago?
I think that was 3 years ago.
Okay.
I'm looking this up real quick. But I mean, no. When they got it, when they traded for him, that made sense. They were in a Super Bowl window,
but
2022. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that was the year after they lost in the NFC Championship game to the eventual Super Bowl winners, because they lose to the Rams and the Rams win the Super Bowl in 2021, and then again they go into the 2022 season with this mindset of winning, which is correct. Yes, you were just almost in the Super Bowl. It's fine. But then you come into 2023 and it's the same old song and dance of you fell short. Then you get to the Super Bowl and it's great, cool, awesome. Didn't win it again. Fell short again. Then you have to kind of look in the mirror if you're the 49ers and say, look, it might be time to tear it down. It might be time to start fresh. Because it's been so many times where you've either almost or gotten to the Super Bowl and you've fallen short with this regime, not necessarily the management and the coaches, mm-hmm. but the players. The players have been to that point so many times. And sure, that's great for experience and things like that, but it's not great for turnover. It's not great for the long-term success.
No, I mean, they also they took advantage of a bad NFC.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
A few years, they took advantage of a bad NFC. They're getting to Super Bowls with Jimmy Garoppolo and Brock Purdy, in part because the NFC was not very good, and now the NFC is very good mm-hmm. and is very top-heavy, and they have maybe arguably two or three of the best teams in the NFL, Eagles, Detroit, definitely. Minnesota, you can argue. They're not even in a weird spot. They're in a clear spot of, we should lose games, get more talent, get healthy for next year, then we can maybe make another run here. But yeah, they've also got to have the discussions about paying Brock Purdy. I think those discussions, too, with paying quarterbacks has gotten ridiculous, where now it's just because it's your turn and you're an okay starter, we're going to pay this. No.
Yeah.
I think that's absurd.
He hasn't earned it, I don't think. He had a good season. All good, good-ish season.
But he was playing on one of the most talented, healthy rosters in the NFL, and then they weren't talented and healthy, and now you're seeing it. He's not able to elevate that roster, which is to no one's surprise. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll talk more on Bills 49ers upcoming Sunday night football. No reports yet on Bills injuries, though, for Purdy. He apparently was throwing a little bit yesterday. They're going to rest him today. We'll hopefully get more on that as the week progresses. Zach Jones, Josh Mann here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.